WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy hump day. Yes, it is Wednesday, November 12th. I am so glad. I'm honored. I'm enthusiastic. I'm just grateful that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Wednesday afternoon once again. Folks, we've got a sizzling hot show for you today. Mississippi State, Oregon, FSU, and TCU. Those are your four top four college football teams in the nation, according to the committee. Do you agree with them? We'll debate about that. We'll also talk about Brad Ausmus getting no votes for Manager of the Year in the MLB. We also invite Alex Yavarsky of the Carolina Panthers Television Network. He's also a fantasy football expert. And today's Barbershop Wednesday centers on the student athlete. Is it possible to be a solid student athlete? We'll talk about that. We'll debate about it, folks. But before we get to all of that, here's my man, Troy, with the Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this November 12th.
Roy Jefferson here with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Wayne Ellington's father was shot to death on Tuesday. The current Lakers shooting guard and former national champion at North Carolina has been granted an indefinite leave of absence. Ellington has played with the Timberwolves, Grizzlies, Cavaliers, Mavericks, and Lakers after he played three seasons at North Carolina. The latest college rankings have Mississippi State on top, with Oregon, Florida State, and TCU following at 2-4. The Ducks leapfrog the Seminoles while the Horned Frogs pass the Crimson Tide for the fourth spot. Alabama, Arizona State, Baylor, and Ohio State round out the top eight. Michigan State is currently ranked 12th. At his press conference yesterday, MSU head coach Mark D'Antonio made it clear that the season isn't over and the Spartans still have a lot to play for. On a loss to OSU, he said, "We got to gain from it, and that's what we'll take with us. We got to grow." MSU travels to College Park, Maryland this weekend to take on the 6-3 Terrapins. Penn State controversy continues. Court documents filed in Pennsylvania on Wednesday show that the independent investigation into Penn State led by former FBI Chief Louis B. Free may have had a lot of NCAA input. At a minimum, it is inappropriate. At a maximum, there were two parties working together to get an outcome that was predetermined, said Senator Jake Corman. Detroit Pistons will be in action tonight as they head to Washington to face the Wizards at 7 p.m. The Pistons are on a two-game losing streak, with their most recent loss coming at the hands of the Chicago Bulls, 102-91. Detroit is still in search of their first road win of the season. Tigers GM Dave Dombrowski said the Tigers' top priority is signing designated hitter Victor Martinez. "We like Victor. We hope he returns with us," Dombrowski said Tuesday at baseball's general manager's meeting. "We'll see what happens." Martinez is coming off arguably the best season of his career, hitting 32 home runs with 103 RBIs on a 3.335 batting average. Martinez is coming off arguably the best season of his career, hitting 32 home runs with 103 RBIs and batting 335. Martinez won a Silver Slugger Award and led the AL in on-base percentage as well. 27-year-old Martin Jacobson wins the World Series of Poker main event, taking home $10 million. Swede defeated Felix Stevenson head-to-head, with Jacobson's pocket tens topping Stevenson's suited ace and a nine. Stevenson paired his nine on the flop, but Jacobson called a third ten on the flop. There's no such thing as a perfect tournament, but this was as close to perfect. Last night in high school's girls volleyball playoff action, DeWitt High School fell to Ann Arbor Huron in three straight sets by scores of 25-14, 25-23, 25-21. Ann Arbor Huron will take on Mason, who defeated Portage Central in five sets, winning the fifth and deciding set by a score of 15-13. The two teams will face off tomorrow at Mason in the 1A regional finals. Those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527 and share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet at my pal Al at AlMartinWKAR.
Troy, thanks a lot, my man. Yes, I am your pal, Al, and I'm so glad. I'm excited about Wednesday. You know, Wednesday is probably, other than Friday because it's the end of the week, but probably my favorite day of the week here on Current Sports. simply because I not only get to grace the airwaves here and debate and discuss and invite the great guests that we have here on a week-to-week basis. And it signifies the middle of the week. It's hump day. You know, once you get over the hump, the weekend is just a minute away. But not only is Wednesday one of my favorite days of the week because I get to be on the air on the radio, but also Current Sports TV tapes each and every Wednesday night, folks. I have to remind you all that tonight, pretty exciting time for Current Sports TV because we invite a program that has accomplished something that simply hasn't been accomplished in that school's history. And that's when back-to-back state championships in the world of boys soccer. Yes, the East Lansing boys soccer team will be joining me. They will be in the house tonight here at the WKAR-TV studios inside of the Communication Arts and Sciences building. Nick Archer, the head coach, will be joining me to chat about this incredible year. We'll also have DeJuan Jones to talk about being named Mr. Soccer for the state of Michigan. And Nick doesn't know this. I don't think Nick knows this, but I got a little tip yesterday morning from friend of Current Sports, Lansing State Journal prep sports writer Scott Yoshanis. Now, Scott sent me a text upon hearing that Nick was going to be on my show, that Nick and his team was going to be on my show, and he said, "Al, I don't know if you know this, but blah, 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 blah." Yeah, I don't want to give it away. I'm just going to say blah, 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 blah. You have to tune in to find out what the surprise is, but Nick doesn't know what this surprise is. So I'm gonna spring it up on him. Hopefully he's not listening right now. He shouldn't be. He should be probably at school teaching right now. It's 1 o'clock. So Nick doesn't know that I'm going to spring this up on him live on the air, but I am tonight, okay? And if you want to know, and if you want to give a, you know, if you want to get a sneak peek into what I'm going to spring on Nick, what the news is, come on out to WKAR-TV Studios tonight at 6 p.m. and you get to hear it. If that ain't a tease, I don't know what is, folks. it's going to be a fun time, though. If you can't make tonight's TV taping, hey, you know, each and every Thursday night we air Current Sports TV on WKAR-TV. It's going to be a fun time. Not only will you get to see and hear from the East Lansing boys soccer team, but you'll also get to hear from the Michigan State men's basketball team as they, start their season. Finally, the Spartan men will hit the hardwood to start their regular season against Navy on the road. Pretty big game. I actually took a trip out to MSU men's basketball practice and powwow with Bryn Forbes and, goodness, just a countless amount of players. Brandon Dawson was also there. I mean, everybody was there. Travis Trice, talked to Travis a little bit. So you get to hear a little bit of that. You'll also get to see highlights from, yes, the Michigan State and OSU game. Well, not just highlights, but also post-game coverage from WKAR as we were in that locker room. It was like the post-game press conference. A somber mood, to say the least, but you get to see that and so much more, folks. So, again, sign up on WKAR.org to be a part of that live studio audience tonight. Exciting time. Alex Sharg joins me on the show. Alex, my man, happy hump day, my friend. How you doing?
Happy hump day to you, Al. And last night I spent my hours watching the World Series of Poker.
Did you? Get out of here.
Yeah, I stayed up all the way up till I think it was about, what time was it? I can't even remember what time it ended. I think it was like 1 in the morning, 1:15.
Get out of here. I didn't know you were a big poker fan like that.
Yeah, I'm a huge poker guy. It was great watching Phil, the poker brat Helmuth, and Daniel Negreanu do color commentary and analysis. That was new this year.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing too, is what is a sport? Is poker, you said it in the headliners, Troy, but is poker really a sport? Where does that draw the line?
So I don't think it is.
That's a good barbershop we can do down the road aside from today. But overall, it was entertaining to watch. I didn't see too much physical action there, a lot more mental, I'd say, than physical.
But that's all mental, baby.
Yeah,
certainly. And you know what? Actually, you know, funny you bring it up because you know I'm a big ESPN Streak for the Cash guy, right? And I was just scrolling through. I was at the gym, and I'm like, man, okay, I just nailed two in a row. I need a third one. And I looked, and they actually had a World Series of Poker Streak for Cash decision. And you could either choose, what is it, Jort Van Hoff to win, or Martin Jacobson or Felix Stevenson. I just played the odds and said, okay, I'll choose my odds of two guys winning over one. And I won it. I was just lucky, and I won it. I don't know who won. It was either Martin or Felix. Am I right?
Stevenson.
Yeah, so it was Felix Stevenson who pulled it off. So, yeah, fun stuff there. But, yeah, you know, it was an eventful day for me. And you know what, Alex? I have to admit this over the air. I have to admit this. You know what? After I worked out, my fridge was totally empty. I don't know if you saw this on my Facebook or Instagram or either one of those pages, but my fridge was empty, so I decided to take a trip to Meijer and beef up my fridge a little bit. I was in need of food desperately. And, I like to think, since college, that I'm a pretty decent grocery shopper. And, you know, every time I go to a grocery store, I love to take a picture. You know, I'm an Instagram, fanatic. I'm always Instagramming something. So I actually Instagrammed, and I always do this when I go to a grocery store, I Instagram what I bought at the grocery store. I say, oh, man, I just did. I actually, to read the caption here, after a long 2-hour workout at the gym, I hit the grocery store to do work, throwing down in the kitchen tonight. So I Instagrammed this photo, and Alex, this was the most controversial photo I've ever posted on my Instagram page. I got 50 comments on my Instagram page of people bashing me for what I bought at the grocery store. And I will admit, I need some help, folks, because I guess after reading the comments, my decisions in the grocery store are not great. If you look at the photo, I had some ramen noodles. I still feel like I'm in college. I had the instant Velveeta. I had the Hungry Man's. Uncle Ben's isn't bad. I don't see what's wrong with Uncle Ben's, but they bashed me because they didn't see any fruits and vegetables on the cart. But they were there, folks. It's not in the picture, okay? But I think I need some help with my grocery shop. I'm not the best grocery shopping expert, I guess you could say, Alex. But I don't know. I don't know. But 50 comments? I'm saying, like, I could post I posted a selfie of me before the show the other day, and that got nothing. But when I post my grocery cart, it blows up the Instagram atmosphere. So funny stuff there, though. But, yeah. Hey, I'm trying to eat healthier, though.
Good. That's good. And correction, Martin Jacobson won. Martin Jacobson. That's my bad.
That is Martin Jacobson. Oh, God. Oh, so it wasn't Felix then.
It wasn't Felix. Martin Jacobson.
I can't believe you stay up to 1 a.m. to watch poker.
Yeah, it was
a
while.
Crazy.
That Van Hoff guy, he's 6'7". They're getting a lot with the stare down, that 6'7 Van Hoff frame. And that was supposed to be the biggest intimidation of the tournament.
What?
At the final table. Yeah, the guy's 6'7".
His height?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I won't even go on a rant with that one. But, folks, our phone lines will be open all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Pick up those phones and call us here on the air. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. If you want to give me some grocery shopping advice, please do that as well. I need it. but we're going to have a fun time with today's show. I'm excited because I haven't talked to this man in quite a long time. He is actually a dear, dear friend of mine who was one of my first pals in this whole sports broadcasting, sports reporting industry, folks. His name is Alex Shavarsky. Alex and I went to school together here at Michigan State University. And Alex has gone on to do some pretty cool things in the world of sports broadcasting, folks. Alex and I, I'll never forget this. We were actually interns for the Big Ten Network Student U back in college, run by the great Rick Church. Shout out to Rick Church, who still runs the Big Ten Network Student U. And, we got hired. We were young, man. We got hired, around our sophomore years of college, ran into Alex, instantly became great friends, man. He's a really cool guy. And we by our senior years of college, we finally got our chance to hit the airwaves. And we were actually the play-by-play and color voices for the Michigan State baseball team for a little bit. And Alex and I, we just had natural chemistry on the air. It was a fun time. But, Alex is going to do some great things now. And now he finds himself working in the NFL. He is actually working with the Carolina Panthers television network. How about that? So we'll be chatting with Alex in just a bit on his road to working in the NFL. And how he got this pretty cool gig, because we have a lot of students who not only work with us here on the show, but also listen to us on the show. And I get emails and questions all the time, from those who want a job shadow to those just interested in the industry about how to break into it and what must they do to solidify a job after college in sports reporting or sports broadcasting, whatever realm they want to go into. And I think it's pretty cool when we bring guests on that can give a hands-on account, other than my story, as to how to do that. So we'll chat with Alex about that. He's also a fantasy football expert, folks. He is actually on the local radio in Carolina as their fantasy football expert, and he knows all things fantasy football, folks. So if your team is hurting, if you're hurting and need to make some moves, some trades, and so on and so forth, he'll also break that down. And we'll also, of course, chat about the NFL in general and who he feels as though has the best chance to make it all the way to that Super Bowl dream. So Alex will be chatting with us later on in the show. And today's Barbershop Wednesday as well, to give you a preview of that one as well. It's going to be a fun one, folks, and a really interesting one, to say the least. I don't know if you guys saw the comments released by Michigan President Mark Schissel, but he basically kind of publicly criticized the Michigan football team for their lack of academic prowess, if you will. And he decided, you know, that he kind of went too far with it, and he issued an apology to Brady Hoke and the Michigan football team today. I mean, as if we need more, something more to talk about when it comes to Michigan athletics, but, you know, this adds another log to the fire. So Mark came out, publicly apologized to football coach Brady Hoke and the athletic department for the comments that he made on Monday about the role of academics as they relate to Michigan athletics. Pretty interesting comments, because he basically attacked Michigan athletics for not living up to academic expectations. So we beg the question here for Barbershop Wednesday: is it possible, looking at the rigorous schedule as far as working out, travel arrangements, and so on and so forth, is it possible for a student athlete to be a solid student athlete? We beg that question on today's Current Sports. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Now, to start today's show, definitely got to talk about this, because it is the big story when it comes to college football, folks. The new rankings have been released for the top teams, the top dogs in the college football stratosphere. It's getting a lot of debate here and there, because there are many out there to feel as though, you know, maybe one or two, maybe even three or all of these teams don't deserve to be in the top four. Well, maybe not all of them. At least one or two definitely deserve, including Mississippi State, in my opinion. I'm going to break it down in just a sec. But if you haven't heard, folks, the new college football rankings look like this now. This is what the committee feels as though. These are the top four teams in college football. Number one, Mississippi State. Definitely agree with that one. Mississippi State has been impressive all year. They are, I think, showing that they are for real. Without a doubt, they came off with a pretty big win over Tennessee Martin. Well, not a big win. It is a win that was expected, I guess you could say. Struggled a little bit early. Got down early in that game, but ended up, you know, hey, you know, the proof is in the pudding in that one. So Mississippi State is number one. Number two is Oregon. How about Oregon shooting all the way up to number two? Three, Florida State, FSU. And number four is TCU. Interesting stuff, folks. So those are your top four teams. As you heard by my man Troy, my pal Troy, Michigan State, of course, falls back to number 12 in the entire nation as far as the new rankings are concerned, due to that loss to Ohio State. So it's pretty safe to say Michigan State has no shot at the college football playoff. Now, you know, there are a few questions that you can beg here when looking at these top four teams. First, the big argument that everyone is arguing is how can, you know, TCU become, you know, a top four team ranked over Baylor, even though the Bears got the better of the Horned Frogs? So, Alex, when looking at this entire spectrum here, what do you think about TCU, and what do you think about the four that were chosen last night?
Yeah, I don't know if the problem really exists with TCU. I think the good thing that comes out of the Power Six is, look, the top one loss and undefeated teams, Kirk Herbstreit said it, they get to control their own destiny. If you win, you move on. It's not one of those things where you're stuck between five or six teams in the final rounds. You're going to have Mississippi State play Bama, so one of those teams will move on. Between those six, seven teams, you're going to have most of them that have to keep winning to stay in. And a good majority of them have the chance to be knocked out before then. So it's not like it's going to be some up-in-the-air, debatable thing at the end of the year, and it's not going to ruin the Power Four.
You know, I disagree. I think it will be debatable. I think anytime you try to choose the top four in the nation, again, we both agree with this. This can't stay at four here. This has to move to eight or more. Because the conference champions in other conferences, it doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. They don't get to compete for that chance as a national championship. And to go back about TCU and Baylor, I think that Baylor has a legitimate case right here. Now, the reasoning behind TCU being ranked higher than Baylor in this whole scheme of things, the committee reasoned and said that TCU has two top 25 wins and Baylor just has one. Even though Baylor got the best of TCU at the beginning of this year. Now, I think when looking at it, though, I understand that, you know, when you look at quality wins, quality wins is going to be the top argument when breaking down the top four in college football. And again, TCU, you can't argue with this, that TCU does have two top 25 wins. Baylor just has one. But how much weight does it hold that Baylor did beat TCU? I think there's an argument. I think that can go either way. I could see Baylor at that number four spot just as well I could see TCU there. Another thing is, Oregon jumped undefeated FSU and moved into second. Now, the reasoning behind that one is the Ducks now have three wins against teams currently in the top 25. Now, those three wins are, of course, Michigan State, UCLA, and Utah. FSU has beaten two teams, as opposed to three with the Ducks, in the top 25, that being Notre Dame and Clemson. So I think right now, if we want to dive into the minds of what the committee is thinking here, folks, quality wins mean a heck of a lot. It means pretty much everything here. It matters how you beat teams and who you beat. If those teams are in the top 25, and it makes it even better if those teams are in the top 10, you better believe that the committee is going to bode favorably in your corner. I really think that. Now, you know, as far as the argument, because I've been hearing this left and right, hey, let's be honest here. Ohio State is a very, very good team. Right now, as of right now, Ohio State, I think, could go toe-to-toe with anyone in this nation. Point blank, period. They are clicking right now. JT Barrett looks great. This defense is playing legitimately out of its mind. But, folks, again, based on what I just said, the committee is going to look at Ohio State's schedule. If there was any chance at all, for the Big Ten to be represented in the top four and to play in a playoff game, you know what? That ship pretty much sailed on Saturday. It was Michigan State. Michigan State was the Big Ten's only hope of a team playing in that college football playoff out of that conference, point blank period. Because when you look at OSU, Ohio State looked very iffy at the beginning of this year, specifically the loss to Virginia Tech. You cannot lose to Virginia Tech and expect to play in the college football playoff at the end of the year. That loss alone excludes Ohio State. So I think at the end of the day, even though I think Ohio State is going to go to the Big Ten Championship in Indianapolis and probably win it, they'll be the conference champion in the Big Ten. That's what I'm saying. That's my prediction here. It's my thoughts on it. They will not have a shot at the college football playoff, which is why I think this system right now needs to be changed and is going to be changed in the future. Ohio State looks good. They look great, actually. Again, right now, they are clicking, folks. JT Barrett is a man, and he is playing like it. But, hey, quality wins, folks. You can't have quality losses. That's just how the cookie crumbles. And even just looking at that Virginia Tech game, looking at Penn State, they had to go to overtime to beat Penn State. They struggled against Penn State. Did not look great against Penn State at all. You know, the committee is clearly showing what criteria they are basing things off of to choose their top four. Also, I got to shout out this. I think that legitimately, looking at these rankings as well, I think Alabama and Arizona State, hey, you know, looking at it, you know, because Alabama's number five in this whole scheme, Arizona State six. I think if Alabama closes out the year great, yeah, let's say Alabama wins the SEC. Hey, I think Alabama can secure a playoff spot, without a doubt. I think if Alabama goes and wins the SEC, they had a very close game. Dodged a bullet against LSU on Saturday. And, you know, Arizona State, an impressive win over Notre Dame. You know, you, again, Bama 5, Arizona State 6. I think both can secure a playoff spot if they keep on winning. Because every Saturday here on out now is going to be what I'm dubbing a separation Saturday. You're going to separate the good from the great and the great from extremely good. So it's going to be very, very interesting. But watch out for Bama and Arizona State, two teams I think are legitimate contenders. If I had to choose, because I've been getting this question too when these rankings came out, especially from my boys in the D, who I think is going to win this whole enchilada, if I had to make an early prediction, I think Bama can. I really think they can. I think Alabama, looking at how, you know, even though, hey, you're playing LSU, that's a tough place to play on the road. That's a very tough place to play. But if I had to look at this whole grand scheme of things, I can't go against Nick Saban in Alabama. I think that Alabama, at the end of the day, will possibly win this whole thing. I don't know. You disagree? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls live here on the air. Do you agree with the top four teams in college football that the committee has selected as of last night? Again, they are Mississippi State, Oregon, Florida State, and TCU. What do you think, folks? Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite our, for the very first time here on Current Sports, my good friend Alex Yavarsky, who is working with the Carolina Panthers Television Network. He's doing some outstanding things, folks. You don't want to miss that chat. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I have to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV tapes tonight. I'll sit down with Nick Archer, head coach of the East Lansing boys soccer team, who will be joining me along with his team. Yes, they will be in the bleachers for this one tonight. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. Excuse me. That's tonight at 6 p.m. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Now, he went to work for the NFL Network straight out of college. I mean, how cool is that? Right out of college, he goes to work for the NFL Network. That's fantastic stuff. Now, he worked for the network for a year before going to work for the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, he's currently working for Panthers Television Network with the production staff. Now, they are in charge of daily sports shows as well as any video you see Panthers related. You know, Cam Newton pressers. You know, you maybe saw Cam Newton crying a little bit in his presser this week because he did not have a good outing on Monday. We'll dive into that as well. They do an outstanding job, folks, an outstanding job. Alex Yavarsky joins me on the show. Alex, how you doing, my man?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Al?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, you know, as I said as a prelude to our conversation, Alex, I mean, hey, brother, we go back like four flats on the Cadillac, all right? I mean, you and I were here at Michigan State University. We work for the Big Ten Network Student U, aspiring to break into this business. I tell you what, brother, we are truly blessed to be able to wake up in the morning and put a smile on our face to go out and do what we love. You're doing some outstanding things. Again, you work for the NFL Network. You're now working with the Carolina Panthers. For all the students out there, for all the young people out there aspiring to break into this industry, I love to have, you know, cats like you on the show because you know the road that you took and you can relate. I hate telling my story over and over and over. I feel as though sometimes those out there need to hear from another mouth. And for you out, you know, for those listening, trying to break into this thing, how did you break into this business?
Oh yeah, Alan, you know, you're exactly right. It truly is a blessing being able to wake up every day and just do something that you love, you know, and when you truly do something fun for work, it doesn't feel like you're working. And I mean, you're the best person to talk to. You're one of the most passionate people and hardest working people. But truly, I think, you know, to break into this industry, I think first and foremost, you really have to believe in yourself, because sometimes when you look at it from, you know, when you're a student and you think like, oh, working for ESPN or the NFL or things like this, you know, you can really have that mindset. You know, sometimes you hear from people just tell you that, yeah, you'll never go on to work for the NFL or anything like that. So just ignore the noise and, you know, believe in yourself first and foremost. And then after that, I think it's just about being very persistent, you know, like you just got to go for it. And one of the things that I did to have a lot of success, okay, I got on LinkedIn, and that was just such a great tool for me, connecting with people and just connecting with people throughout the NFL and sports teams and ESPN and some of these bigger networks, you know, because that's what I really dreamed and aspired to do when I got out of college. And, you know, just contact them, contact people who are in the industry and ask for advice from them, because, I mean, who better to get advice from than the people who are doing it, than the people who have experience. So I just think LinkedIn is such a great tool, you know, connect with people, ask them if you can contact them and ask them how they got into the business and who are some good people to talk to you know, acquire jobs like this and, you know, really just go all out for it. I think just go all out for it and stay persistent and truly believe in yourself, because at a point, you know, it's not easy. It's I'm not going to say it's easy to get these types of jobs, but it is possible. So, mm-hmm. I mean, when you're struggling, when you hit up a lot of people, but you know, you're having trouble finding a job, just stay persistent, stay true to yourself, believe in yourself, and you know, don't quit. Just, I think belief and persistency is just like two of the big factors when it comes to breaking into this industry.
Yeah, that is certainly true, Alex. And I always go back to our times, you know, working here on campus and broadcasting games. I mean, you and I, you know, as Drake would say, we started from the bottom. You know what I mean? I still don't feel as though I'm there yet, though. You know, I'm not getting complacent here. But, you know, for you and I mean, I remember we used to, like, you know, coil cord and work the camera, and we're sitting there, and we would afterwards, you know, and we were annoying, basically. We would go to Rick and be like, yo, Rick, you know, we want to be on the air, man. And, you know, Rick would say, oh, you know, maybe next year, or you submit a tape. And we'd be like, okay, next year comes. Right. Rick, put us on the air. Come on, we can do this.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. And then finally, you know, we got into that competition our senior year, my senior year, actually, your junior year. And we made a tape. We actually had to compete. We had to work for that spot. We competed with two others, and we put together a resume tape, and Rick took a look at it and said, okay, all right, I may give these kids a shot. And you actually did play-by-play. I was color for the Big Ten Network Student U during the men's baseball season. Now, for you, your times, you know, working with me doing play-by-play for the Big Ten Network Student U, I mean, is that your eventual goal in this whole industry, Alex? Do you still have those eyes set on being a play-by-play guy?
You know, Al, now that I've been in the industry for a little while and I am out of school, okay, I used to think that I, you know, play-by-play was the only direction that I wanted to go, but I've actually started doing a few more things since I've worked for the NFL. I've started, I'm an NFL fantasy expert, believe it or not. I don't know how much of an expert I truly am, but I'm
and we're going to talk about that in a sec. We're going to dive into that in a sec, but yeah, continue.
So every week I'm, you know, giving fantasy advice and things like that, and I've actually started to call Friday football games. I'm high school football, getting ready to do my first high school game here this Friday, my first playoff game this Friday. So I've been calling football now, and you know, football is my passion, and I would love to call football games. But, you know, if someone called me and said, hey, we want you to be our fantasy guy or something like that, you know, there's a few different options that I look at. And I just think that there's a few things that I would really enjoy doing. I don't know if play by play, I mean, that would be a dream come true. So I don't know if I have my eyes set directly on that, but obviously that would be extremely fun to do. I mean, that would be a dream come true for me. So
right,
I don't
right.
know. There's quite a few things that I would really enjoy doing.
Yeah, and that's the thing I always tell students. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you embark on this journey and you make up your mind, hey, I want to go into this industry, you may have your heart set on one aspect and doing one thing, but I always say, you know, experience can breed your interest to go into a plethora of different directions. I mean, you may, you know, do something else and say, oh, I kind of like this. So that's what I always tell students, you know, have an open mind, be willing to do anything, because you never know where it could take you. Now for you, Alex, I mean, just for the people out there listening now, I mean, you are working with the Carolina Panthers Television Network. What exactly are you doing, and how do you guys put together a television production for the NFL?
Yeah, so each day we have shows, okay? So Monday is our we do a radio show that we actually televise on the air now, and it's called Panther Talk. So it's our post-game show, you know, for the previous day. We actually did our Panther Talk yesterday since the game was on Monday night this week.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we do daily shows. So later on in the week when we're getting ready for next week's opponent, you know, we'll have a show called Game Plan with just former Panther players and, you know, TV talent from around the Charlotte area. And we just put together shows each and every day that are related with the Carolina Panthers, you know, and we'll do press conferences. We really do everything that goes on television as well as the website and things like that. And it's produced just, we've obviously got a crew that helps out on each show daily, and it starts from the producers and directors who, you know, do the pregame plan for the shows. They produce the entire show before the show ever airs, and then we've got our director and we've got our people in studio who are helping, as well as our on-air talent. So, you know, just it goes into just producing shows each and every day, and we have a lot of fun, you know, working for an NFL team. It doesn't get better than that. I mean, we really just talk football each and every day. So
yeah, that certainly is a dream job, to say the least, Alex, and you're doing a fantastic job at it. Now, really briefly, I want to talk about you being a fantasy football expert now. Now, how does that work? How did you break into that, and what radio station is this, and how did that start?
Yeah, so a guy who I'm working with named Vincent Pride, he's actually a former running back for the Mississippi State Bulldogs, who are number one in the country now.
Yeah.
And he actually has his own radio show every Thursday night called Thursday Night Mayhem with Vincent Pride. And he does a show here in Charlotte. And he actually needed I just conversed with him as soon as I got the job with the Carolina Panthers. And he told me about his show. And he actually asked me if I knew anything about Major League Baseball. And I told him, yeah, I'm actually really big into MLB. But then he switched it up on me and asked if I could do a fantasy football segment for him each week. And I love fantasy football. That's something that I take a lot of pride in, bragging rights with your friends and things like that.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, just being at the right place at the right time, and, you know, just opportunities opening themselves up. So truly blessed to have that opportunity, and that's been a lot of fun as well. So
Alex, I got to ask, because there are many listening right now, including myself, who, you know, who play fantasy football. I have about three teams, and right now I'm actually doing very well in two of my leagues. But in my other one, which is, you know, which I really, really care about, man, I'm kind of struggling, Alex. So if for fantasy football players out there, you know, who participate week to week to week right now, I mean, who are the hot players, and who are some sleeper picks that maybe those out there should pick up?
Yeah, you know, I think that a big part of fantasy football, I mean, you can struggle because a big part of it is luck, and I think it really takes a lot of time. You got to go and pick up people off the waiver wire and things like that, and
yeah,
just stay committed each year. But man, so you're looking at some of the hot players. I mean, Andrew Luck is a guy that I look at who's just been fabulous this year. Coming out of the draft, people were really, you know, hyping him up a lot, and he has lived up to all those expectations. I mean, he has more passing yards than anyone in the league this year, even over Peyton Manning. So this is a guy who's just on fire, and he leads all fantasy football players. So you got to look at Andrew Luck.
Right.
And then some running backs. How about Marshawn Lynch having a 40-point day? This past week he had a career high in touchdowns. So
yeah,
that's another guy who's really been taking off this year as well. And there's a lot of guys. I mean, Demaryius Thomas, Antonio Brown is a guy you got to look at who's just been tearing it up this season. I mean, he was drafted in second and third rounds, and he's turned out to be one of the best fantasy receivers, as well as Jordy Nelson. The Packers are starting to get hot. Aaron Rodgers. So there's a lot of people really starting to come on strong. And with the playoffs coming up here soon, I mean, no better time to get hot, is there, Al?
Yeah, that is very, very true. And, Alex, thank goodness, just about all those names you brought up all of them except one are a part of at least one of my fantasy teams. So, yeah, they are certainly tearing it up. Now, Alex, again, you know, when you talk about fantasy sports, too, a lot of it, let's be just real here, a lot of it has to do with luck. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'll put a player in, you know, Malcolm Floyd to be, you know, a good example there. Malcolm right. Floyd, wide receiver for the Cardinals. I mean, 1 week he had like 21 points for me. Then the next 2 weeks he goes and scores one and then has a week where he scores none. With fantasy football and fantasy sports in general having a lot of luck to do with it, I mean, is there any real science to it?
You know, there definitely is, Al. I mean, obviously there's a luck factor because at any point someone who really isn't doing well can have an easy matchup 1 week and, you know, tear it up that week. But I think that if you really study it and you are committed to it, you actually, there is a science to it. I mean, you got to draft well. You got to keep up with your teams throughout the season and constantly be looking at that waiver wire, adding and making changes because people do get hurt. I think injuries are a big part of the luck factor. You got to draft people who don't end up getting injured. But I think, you know, just the science is to just stay up with it and be committed to it, because sometimes it can be a full-time job. I mean, you got to really research and draft well and then pick up people off the waiver wire. And I think what you want, Al, is consistency in fantasy football. You mentioned Floyd from the Cardinals. I mean, this is a guy who gets 21 points 1 week and then doesn't do very well the next couple weeks. I think you need that consistency. You know, you want a guy who's going to get you 10-plus points each week rather than maybe a guy like a John Brown from the Cardinals who's going to get you 17 one week but then 3 the next week. So I think I'd rather have that consistency in my lineup. Some people like to go boom or bust. Yeah, I'm going to fill in this guy because he can get me 20, but he might get me 0. So, yeah, I mean, that – we could talk all day about that. But,
right.
You know, so.
Yeah, definitely. Alex Yavarsky of the Carolina Panthers Television Network. He's also a fantasy football expert in the area. Alex, before I let you go, I want to bring up this because we actually had a barbershop Wednesday focused on this very thing. I actually saw a report that was done by HBO Sports talking about fantasy sports and how big sites like FanDuel and DraftKings have become. I mean, you know, they interviewed some people there in Vegas where, you know, guys have really quit their job and are doing this full time and are getting paid exponentially, to say the least. Now, there are many out there to debate and say, okay, fantasy sports, with it being on this level and looking at the amount of money that's involved in it now, many people feel as though maybe it may be pushing the envelope of illegal gambling. Do you echo those sentiments, or do you totally disagree? Because right now, really the aspect that is saving this whole argument for fantasy sports not being considered in that realm of things is the fact that fantasy sports are, just like you said, sometimes so unpredictable. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Al, you really just come up with some of the greatest questions.
Thank you, my man.
They are very broad. I mean, these are very broad topics, but I when it comes to the fact whether I think it should be illegal gambling and considered to be, you know, illegal sites like FanDuel and things like that, I actually did play week one. I think I put in like $10 into FanDuel and I ended up losing. So I didn't
do it anymore.
So, I mean, I think it's fun. I mean, if people really, fantasy football is becoming a huge thing these days. I mean, you talk to all your friends, everyone's in leagues with their other friends, and, you know, it becomes very competitive, and some people are very knowledgeable when it comes to fantasy football and playing the matchups, things like that. So, I mean, I think it's a fun thing to do. I would have to think more on if I think that it's, you know, if it should be considered illegal and things like that, but I mean, I think it's fun. I think it's crazy that people really are quitting their jobs, but some people right. are that serious into it. I mean, it's pretty wild.
It is pretty wild, folks. And if you got any thoughts on it, we've had this debate before, but it's an endless one, folks, with many, many different opinions and views on it. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. 95-27. I always say it, Alex, at the end of the day, you know, like you said, it's a fun avenue to really just, you know, relax a little bit and add some more interest for those, you know, for the casual sports fan out there to be involved and to watch and have added incentive to watch every game in the NFL, if not a lot of them. Let's put it that way. And I just think anytime you're talking about it with a lot of moolah, you better believe that the government is going to turn his head and look at this and give it a second take. So that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. But, Alex, it's been a pleasure you being on the show today. Again, Alex Jovarsky of the Carolina Panthers Television Network. Alex, my man, thanks a lot, bro.
Hey, thanks for having me, Al.
All right, folks, this is our second break. When we come back, we'll dive into Barbershop Wednesday, and we'll talk about the comments of Michigan President Mark Schissel concerning the student-athlete, specifically in the world of Ann Arbor. We'll dive into that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Wednesday, hump day. It's not only hump day, but Alex Shar likes to call it World Wednesday because he plays music, as you hear so eloquently through your speakers. Music from everywhere. Alex, I'm going to guess and say that's from Mexico, right?
It's a little mariachi.
A little mariachi music from Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Good stuff, good stuff. So, we play music. We're internationally known here on Current Sports, so we like to hit on so many demographics. There you have that. But, folks, it is also Wednesday, and each and every Wednesday here on the show, we not only like to bring you music from around the world and to also, you know, debate left and right, but we like to bring that debate to a specific segment here on the show entitled Barbershop Wednesday, where we like to bring the feel of a barbershop. You know, every time, at least where I'm from in D, you go into a barbershop, everybody thinks they're Stephen A. or Skip Bayless and thinks they're sports experts. So we have an interesting one for you centered on the student athlete. Here we go. Barbershop Wednesday, folks.
Well, I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but a healthy conversation.
Yes, healthy conversation, as you just heard from Cedric the Entertainer. Gotta love that bite, right? Now, folks, Michigan President Mark Schissel publicly apologized today to football coach Brady Hoke and the athletic department for comments he made on Monday about the role of academics as they relate to Michigan athletics. More notably, Michigan football. Now, Schissel went on to say via the university's official website, quote, "I talked with Coach Brady Hoke today to apologize for not providing this full picture in my earlier remarks and asked him to convey that to his team. And I plan to do the same in person when I return from out-of-town commitments." He goes on to say, "I've done the same with our interim AD, Jim Hackett, and asked him to convey those sentiments to our other coaches in their teams. I have a great deal of respect for the efforts of our student athletes and for the coaches and others in athletics who support them. And that did not come through in my earlier comments. I regret that," end quote. Now, again, on Monday, to clarify the comments that he did make on Monday, speaking with the Senate Advisory Committee on University Affairs, Schissel spoke on how he was concerned about a number of academic issues relating to athletics. Now, we spoke about football graduation rates and how oftentimes university admits student athletes who many may not be as qualified academically as other students on campus. Now, he also said he was taking his time with the current athletic director search to replace the departed Dave Brandon. Schissel said academic and financial, quote, "integrity was driving that search, and not the fans' desire to simply hire someone as soon as possible so they could fire a struggling Hoke." Interesting comments, as if we need something else to talk about concerning the Michigan football team and Michigan athletics in general. Here's another log added to that already burning fire. Jock DeWitt now joins me here on the show to dive into this. And again, this centers on basically the student-athlete experience. And is it ever possible for a student athlete to be a solid student in the classroom. Jack, first off, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. Doing great. It's, you know, Barbershop Wednesday, one of my favorite things here at WKAR.
Yeah, it's a fun one. And this is an interesting one because, you know, this is something that hits on a lot of areas here. First of all, when talking about, for me, Jack, the student-athlete experience, I think you have to take in consideration the schedule. The schedule of a student-athlete is one that, first off, for the record, I have not experienced because I've never been a student-athlete, but I do know a few who have. I'm around athletes naturally being in this business and even have an athlete as my intern right now, Andre Sims, running back, well, wide receiver for the MSU football team. The schedule that I see from the outside looking in when it comes to the student-athlete experience is something that, frankly, I may lose my mind when trying to juggle, Jack. You talk about, you know, and you know, we have an intern here, Tyler here. Tyler's behind the glass right now, engineering for me right now. And just nod your head, maybe, Tyler, on this one. You being around student-athletes a lot, you working with athletic communications, I've been doing some reading here, doing some research in preparation for this one. The student athlete, let's say, just take football for instance. Am I right that, you know, the student athlete probably dedicates about 50 to 60 hours per week to football? Nod your head yes or shake your head no. He says, yes, kinda, no. I can't hear what you're saying, Ty.
It depends, Al.
He said it depends. He said it all depends. Now, for me, I've talked with Andre a little bit about this. And I tell you what, looking across the board, I'm making a general statement here. The schedule is pretty rigorous. When you add in the travel, when you add in the workout times, when you try to couple that with being a full-time student taking 12, 14 credits, who knows? It varies with the students. But I feel as though that the demands are pretty, pretty big when trying to be a student and trying to be an athlete at the same time. Tyler?
I think that's why you see things like the scandal that's unfolding at UNC, because they're struggling to fill their time. I personally, I don't know exactly what it's like here, because I'm around them, but I'm not with them every day. I don't know their exact schedule. So, but I would imagine Coach D'Antonio and Coach Izzo and all the other coaches do a really good job here of looking out for their student athletes and making sure that the student part comes first.
Yeah, the key word trying, though. The key word trying to look out. Because there's only so much you can do from a coaching perspective. I understand at the end of the day, you want your kids to be successful in the classroom. At the end of the day, Coach Izzo and D'Antonio has a job to do. Their job is to win games. Izzo's job is to win basketball games, and Mark's is to win football games. So at the end of the day, there is, and looking at what is going on, you brought up a great example. I mean, what's going on with UNC as well, with Roy Williams, you know, the report's coming out that within the African-American Studies program at the University of North Carolina, there were actually, quote-unquote, made-up classes, fake classes that these students these athletes would take in order to sort of pad their GPA so that they could focus more on what they were doing on the hardwood. When you hear reports like that, again, that's an investigation that is still ongoing. It bothers me, first off. It certainly bothers me. And then you hear left and right about the reports about, you know, students getting passes by professors because of travel arrangements at certain games and just certain athletic obligations that don't allow them to be in the classroom as much as they should. It's really interesting. But then there's the flip side of it, too, where you have athletes that have been here on Current Sports who, and, you know, if to give an example, you know, we had Kathy George, head coach of the women's volleyball team here at Michigan State. Her GPAs on that team are fantastic. Last week, I'll give a perfect example. Corey Meister, who arguably is the top player in the Big Ten, women's volleyball player in the Big Ten. I mean, she's in my audience. You know, from Bob Coates class, Bob Coates, an outstanding professor here at Michigan State. She's in my audience for Bob Coates class, trying to get credit for her classes and really engage in the episode, doing this for her academic success. The GPAs on that MSU women's volleyball team are solid, solid stuff. But then, you know, when you talk about the women's volleyball team, you know, they travel a lot. The MSU football team, they travel a lot. The basketball team, my goodness, they're going to Navy, for goodness sake. I can just only imagine what it's like to try and juggle the traveling schedule, the expectations of what you do and how you perform on the hardwood or field, and trying to be a good student. It's tough stuff, Jack.
Well, let's let's focus on one player on the football team that really exemplifies what a student athlete is, and that's Mike Sadler. Mike Sadler last season was named by ESPN and a couple other places to first-team All-American punter, okay? He also graduated in engineering with a 3.97 GPA. Looking right here, he's a William V. Campbell Trophy finalist, which is a top scholar athlete. I mean, this kid does it all. He's actually got a future in the NFL, okay? And he's getting it done in the classroom. So, yeah, it's possible to be a good student athlete, especially here at Michigan State. He's a perfect example.
Now I'm going to come back with you something, Jack. That's great. Sadler, outstanding kicker. I'm not knocking kickers here when I make these comments, and it may be controversial, and we only got 4 minutes left. So if you, after I make this comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at AlMartinWKR or at our official Current Sports Twitter page of @WKR_sports. I'm not knocking kickers, Jack. Not knocking them at all. But at the end of the day, a kicker's job is to do what? Kick. Learning the playbook. That, you know, let's take Connor Cook, for instance. Connor Cook, I can imagine how thick that playbook is, how strenuous he has to sit down and go through play by play by play to make sure he knows what he's doing out there. Because one mistake as a QB can lead to a season of detrimental non-success for an entire year. I think the responsibilities vary from player to player to player. It also depends on the player. It depends on how much playing time that player gets. It depends on the role of that player, on how strenuous their job is as a college athlete compared to others on the team as well. Tyler.
Yeah, you make a good point, and that's why I think it depends on what sport you play, your position. Al, did you know that there is a current MSU student athlete that is a finalist for the Rhodes Scholarship?
I had no idea. Who is that?
David Zoltowski, men's swimming team. I mean, the Rhodes Scholarship. That's one of the most prestigious academic awards out there.
Right.
And when you're talking about him, when you're talking about Mike Sadler, I mean, you're right. Like, being a student athlete, it's pretty much a full-time job.
It is.
But there are some that are able to get that academic experience and balance it out, like a David Zoltowski, like a Mike Sadler. I mean, it does depend, but it seems like, especially here, we're doing well with balancing the student and the athlete part.
Right. Exactly. I agree. And, you know, and there's another segment to this conversation. We're going to continue. This is just part one of our discussion. There's another segment here which alludes to Mark Schissel's comments concerning the football team, where he basically talks about the quality of students that the University of Michigan admits to its athletic programs. Looking at his comments, he feels as though some athletes may be admitted, may not be, quote, as qualified academically as other students on campus. That's a whole other can of worms that we'll dive into. I got some strong thoughts on that one, folks. Again, go to facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at @AlMartinWKR or at our official Current Sports Twitter page of @WKR_sports. That's going to be an interesting conversation. We encourage you all to weigh in. Again, folks, Current Sports TV tapes tonight, 6 p.m. I'll be sitting down with head coach of the back-to-back state champion East Lansing boys soccer team. It's going to be a fun one. Nick is bringing out his entire team. It's going to be a great one, folks. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, go to WKAR.org. Sign up online for free. We'll give you a sneak peek of that interview during tomorrow's Current Sports at 1 p.m. It's always a fun time here on the show, folks. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to give a special shout-out and thanks to Alec Yavarsky of the Carolina Panthers Television Network for joining me on today's show. Thank you to all of you out there who tuned in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic hump day, and be easy, people.